Why do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
And my name is Carolyn.
And your English will improve today. We're going to learn more with Jo about her experiences, life in Nepal. And today's lesson is Life in Nepal Part 2. Do you remember learning from her experiences last month? What was something that we learned about Jo's life in Nepal last month, Carolyn?
Well, we had a little bit of an introduction about why she went to Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
She had heard about it as a very interesting country in the news that sacrificed goats at the airport. But she ended up a few years later going to Nepal as part of an internship with a nonprofit organization.
Okay, so she was going to go and work with this nonprofit organization in Nepal. And, of course, her professor had some advice for her. Of course, when you're overseas, you might get homesick sometimes. And her professor said the most important thing, or her most important advice that Jo remembers, was to bring peanut butter because it would remind her of home whenever she got homesick. So, of course, we're going to continue learning more about what she actually experienced when she got to Nepal. So let's get into our lesson right now.
Life in Nepal, Part 2. This South Asian country proved to be a world away. "Look at the view, it's very beautiful," my translator encouraged me. "Rolling hills and valleys stretched out before us, dotted with trees and tiny huts, but I could barely manage to glance at it." I clutched her arm instead. We were in a bus on an unpaved single-lane mountain road, mere feet away from the edge of a cliff. I didn't want to watch when we plunged to our deaths. We were on our way to Dalaka, a mountain village in Nepal where the nonprofit I was interning with had a field office.
Hello, friends. This is your word lady, Ellen. In this month's passport article, we rejoin Jo in gorgeous Nepal. Let's take a look at our key words for the day before we begin. Clutch. Clutch is a verb. I clutched my purse tightly as we wandered through the crowded market. Plunge. Plunge is a verb. The car drove off the bridge and plunged into the river below. Luggage rack. Luggage rack is a noun. Can you put my bag up on the luggage rack? I'm too short to reach it. Crackle. Crackle is a verb. At night, the campers sang songs and listened to the campfire crackle. Your more information words are microloan. Microloan is a noun. Bollywood. Bollywood is a noun. Now let's begin.
Well, it sounds like she is having a very exciting beginning to this journey. And we read here at the top, "This South Asian country proved to be a world away." Now, that's an interesting way to describe a place that's still on Earth. It's still part of this world, mm-hmm. but it's a world away. What does she mean, Gabe?
Well, actually, I think there might be two meanings here. If something is a world away, that could mean it's very far away. But it also means that the lifestyle and everything about life in that place is completely different from anything she's used to. I think that's more what she means here. It's a world away. She's really not used to it. It's a very foreign place to her.
It is certainly very different from her life in the U.S. Well, we are going to learn all about how she felt during her experience in Nepal. And here at the beginning, we see a quote. "Look at the view! It's very beautiful. My translator encouraged me.
Well, the way this sentence is written, the way that she uses the word encouraged, she could have said, my translator told me. But we can see here that maybe Joe needed some encouragement, and we'll find out more as we read along. So you can use this, or you can tell how someone might be feeling by the way something is written. Joe needed some encouragement. Well, it's time for us to learn something new with Steve and Ken in the Information Cloud.
Let's say you are traveling in a foreign land, like the author of our lesson today, and you come to a beautiful place. How do you describe what you see?
Well, you can say what the translator in our lesson says. Look at the view. It's very beautiful. Or you can say the scenery is beautiful.
That's right. Both view and scenery can be used to describe a beautiful place. However, there's a big difference between the two.
Yes, there is. Scenery is an uncountable noun, so it cannot be plural. You can say the scenery is really beautiful, or an area has some really beautiful scenery.
View, on the other hand, is a countable noun. For example, the views from the summit are spectacular.
So don't say, what a beautiful scenery. It should be, what a beautiful view.
Or, what beautiful scenery.
Another difference is that a view is what you see from a particular location. If you talk about a restaurant with a view, you're referring to the particular view as seen from that restaurant.
Scenery, on the other hand, is the whole picture, so to speak. I love mountain scenery. Whenever I go up to the mountains, I'm struck by how beautiful the mountains are.
如果要形容美丽的风景，我们可以用 scenery 或 view。这两个字呢，都可以表示景色、视野、美丽的风光。但是两者有个很大的不同， scenery 是不可数名词， view 是可数名词。所以当我们来到一个美景前面，我们不能讲 what a beautiful scenery，必须说 what a beautiful view 或是 what beautiful scenery。 这两个字呢还有一个差别， view 强调的是从某个特定的位置看过去的景色或视野， scenery 指的是某个地区整体的景色，像 mountain scenery 山景。这就是今天的 Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
Thank you, guys. Now, let's continue reading on and learn a little bit more about this view that her translator was so excited about. Rolling hills and valleys stretched out before us, dotted with trees and tiny huts. But I could barely manage to glance at it.
Well, that is another well-written sentence here. We're talking about rolling hills and valleys that stretch out. That means it is in front of you in a big way. It goes on for a long time. You could say the meadow stretched out before me, or the field stretched out before us.
That's right. And we have wonderful descriptive words in this sentence, but Joe could barely manage to glance at this beautiful scenery. We read, I clutched her arm instead. So it sounds like Joe might be a little bit afraid.
That's right. That's what you do when you're afraid sometimes. You clutch onto something close by for safety. Let's look at that word from our word bank, to clutch. It means you're grabbing something tightly or eagerly for some reason.
That's right. So many times when we are scared or upset about something, we will clutch or grab onto something very firmly and we won't let go. And here, Joe is clutching the arm of her translator. And we find out why, Gabe.
That's right. We were in a bus on an unpaved, single-lane mountain road mere feet away from the edge of a cliff. Okay, so you can imagine this in your mind now. It's unpaved. That means the road is kind of rough, so it already is a little bit dangerous. What else do we find out? It's a single lane road. That's already a little bit dangerous. You never know when another car might be coming towards you, and you have to go to the side a little bit. But where are they, Carolyn? Are they in a field or where are they?
If they were in a field, I don't think she would be quite as worried. But
yeah.
They are on a mountain. This road is on a mountain, and they are mere feet away from the edge of a cliff, which means that they would fall off the side of the mountain.
Okay, so that's all that Joe can think about, being so close to the edge of a cliff. I can understand why she's clutching her translator's arm. Well, right now it's time for us to continue learning something with Liz in the Grammar Gym.
Welcome to the Grammar Gym, friends. My name is Liz. In today's article, the writer mentions, we were in a bus on an unpaved single-lane mountain road mere feet away from the edge of a cliff. That's our grammar tip sentence. Our focus today is on the word mere. It is an adjective we use to describe how something is so small or is in such small amounts. So in today's sentence, the writer is saying that her bus was just a few feet away from the edge of a cliff. She is not so interested in the actual number of feet. She uses mere to simply emphasize how her bus was that close to the edge of a cliff. So when you're in a situation where you want to describe how there just isn't too much or too many of a certain thing, consider using mere. For example, mere seconds after Julia came home without her umbrella, it started raining. Or, this cake is a great low-calorie dessert. It only has a mere spoon of sugar in it. If you'd like to see some more example sentences, then check out today's grammar tip section for more example sentences. And that's it for today. This is Liz from the Grammar Gym. See you next time. Bye!
Thank you, Liz. Well, let's continue learning about Joe's reaction from being mere feet away from the edge of this cliff. She says, I didn't want to watch when we plunged to our deaths. And this is a very interesting sentence, and there's a key word there, the word plunge. Now, to plunge means to go down, usually very quickly and very far.
Okay, and often I think of water. Maybe you're plunging down into the water. Okay, so maybe you remember learning a phrase earlier this year, to take the plunge. That means you're going to jump into something knowing that you can't go back up. Okay, so you take the plunge. You're getting into something. Here we're talking about, or Joe is saying, she didn't want to watch when we plunged to our deaths. Now, it's interesting, Carolyn, she uses the word when, as if this is going to happen.
Yes, she does. She doesn't say, if we plunge to our deaths. She says, when it is going to happen. There's no way around it. And I think she's being a little bit overdramatic.
That's true. Well, let's talk about that word. It's not in the lesson, but overdramatic is a good word to describe how Joe is writing and describing things. Of course, she's not going to plunge to her death. It's not a matter of when. It could just be a matter of if. And of course, she did not plunge to her death. She was just being overdramatic. Are you ever overdramatic?
Well, if you are overdramatic, that means that you have a lot of expression, and maybe you do too much, like you are in a play or in a movie, and you're trying to express things too much.
That's true. Well, sometimes it's good to be overdramatic, but I think Joe is being too overdramatic. She says, we were on our way to Dolaka, a mountain village in Nepal, where the nonprofit I was interning with had a field office. So it's not the main office, it's somewhere overseas, a field office. Okay, let's continue learning with Michelle in the language lab.
Hi everyone, I'm Michelle. 这篇文章的第一个重点，我们来看 clutch 这个动词。Clutch 是指紧握或抓紧，通常是因为恐惧、紧张或者是疼痛。如果要说明抓住什么的话，是用 at 这个介系词。例如 ,the old lady clutched at the railing while she was climbing the stairs. 这位老太太爬楼梯的时候紧紧抓住扶手。或者是 Jenna clutched at a log in the river because she couldn't swim. Jenna 紧抓住河里的一块木头因为她不会游泳。接下来我们看的是 plunge 这个动词。Plunge 是指掉落或落入。 例如 the truck plunged down the cliff and exploded. 这台卡车冲下山崖然后爆炸。Plunge 也指将某个东西投入或插入。例如 she plunged the carrots and beans into the boiling water. 她把胡萝卜跟豌豆放进煮沸的水中。
So far in our lesson today, we're learning about Jo's experience as her and her translator were in a bus on the way to Dolakha, a place in Nepal where she would be interning. And of course, she describes her experience. She was definitely very scared. Her translator tried to tell her to look at how beautiful everything was around them, but they were on an unpaved single-lane mountain road, and so she was clutching the arm of her translator. Okay, we get a good taste of how Jo was feeling as she first arrived there in Nepal. Let's continue learning with her experience.
Life in Nepal, Part 2. They were teaching local women how to read and write, how to tend to their family's basic needs, and how to use and pay back a microloan. I was excited and terrified. The bus ride alone was making me have second thoughts. People crowded into the seats and aisles, and chickens and goats rode on the luggage rack on top. There was no door on the bus, but a man stood in the opening to watch how close we got to the edge of the cliff. The eight-hour journey passed to the sound of old Bollywood love songs that crackled over ancient speakers.
Well, this does not sound like the most enjoyable way to experience a country for the first time, but let's go back to the beginning of this section and learn a little bit about this nonprofit organization. We read, They were teaching local women how to read and write, how to tend to their family's basic needs, and how to use and pay back a microloan. Well, these all sound like very helpful things for this organization to do.
That's right. Well, let's take a look at some words there. They're being taught how to tend to their family's basic needs. If you tend to something, that means you are caring for it in a specific way. Maybe you need to tend for your crops, or maybe you need to tend to your business at work. You need to tend to these things. Now, a microloan, we see that word. A microloan is a small, short-term loan that you are given.
That's right, and many people in countries that are still developing, like Nepal, will use microloans to help them to start their own business. And many times, those deal with agriculture or farming. So they can start their own little farm and be independent.
And so that is a great thing. These people are being trained to be independent like this. Well, Jo continues with her story. She says, I was excited and terrified. Well, both of those things in the same sentence, I think it's possible to be both. You're excited about something and also terrified. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe when you move somewhere, or maybe when you're going to high school or your first day at university, you might feel excited and terrified.
That's right. You are eager to start something great, something new, but there is also a lot of uncertainty. You don't know what's going to happen. And here, Jo is on this bus and is not sure if she will make it to the city. We read, The bus ride alone was making me have second thoughts.
All right, well, let's take a look at her second thoughts here. What does that mean, to have second thoughts? That means you decided to do something, but now maybe you're regretting it. Maybe you made the wrong decision.
Yes, you're not so sure about what you decided to do. So if you have second thoughts about something, then maybe you regret the indecision you made before. Maybe you aren't sure about grad school. You don't really know. You applied and you got in and now you're working really hard, but you're having some second thoughts about it. Maybe you aren't actually interested in the subject.
Or maybe you just hired someone new to your company But now you see how lazy they are. Now you're having second thoughts about hiring that person. Okay, so you can have second thoughts for a lot of different things. Joe is having second thoughts. We read, people crowded into the seats and aisles, and chickens and goats rode on the luggage rack on top. Seems like a very crowded bus.
It does sound like a very crowded bus. And here we see a word from the word bank, luggage rack. And that is where they put the goats and chickens on this bus. However, a luggage rack is usually a place where you put your suitcase or your luggage to store it and get it up out of the way.
That's right. Of course, you could put chickens inside of your suitcase and then put it on the luggage rack. But it seems like this luggage rack on this bus had a lot of animals up there as well. Well, she continues, there was no door on the bus, but a man stood in the opening to watch how close we got to the edge of the cliff. So there's no door, but there's an opening. You could say there's a doorway, but there's no door.
That's right. And this man had a very interesting job. He would watch to see how close they were to the edge of the cliff so he could tell the driver that they were getting too close. And we continue reading, the 8-hour journey passed to the sound of old Bollywood love songs that crackled over ancient speakers.
Okay, well, that does sound like something, like an interesting experience there. Well, let's look at that word, to crackle. If something is crackling, it's making that kind of cracking sound in a way. I usually use this word when I'm talking about wood that is burning in a fire because it makes that kind of sound. It crackles.
That's right. So you can use that to describe the sound of a fire burning. The fire is crackling. And here, if a sound is not very clear, you're listening to speakers, maybe you need to get new speakers because the ones you have are old and are crackling. You can't really hear very clearly. It's just a lot of noise.
And she describes these speakers as ancient speakers. That's kind of being overdramatic as well. It's kind of exaggerating a little bit. I don't think speakers are ancient, but here they are very old, of course, and they're crackling. Well, let's continue learning something with Michelle in the language lab.
好，接下来我们看的是 micro loan 这个名词。MICRO 这个字首有微小的意思。Loan 是指贷款，所以 micro loan 就是指微型贷款或者是小额贷款。例如 ，The family rebuilt their house through a micro loan。这个家庭因为有微型贷款而重建了自己的房子，或者是 The micro loan program in Africa helped a lot of disadvantaged people to start new lives。非洲微型贷款计划帮助了许多贫困的人民重获新生。最后我们看的是 crackle 这个动词。Crackle 是指发出细微的爆裂声，例如 Under the night sky, the campfire crackled and gave off sparks. 在夜空中，萤火发出爆裂声，而且闪耀出火花。Crackle 也可以当名词，意思是指爆裂的声音或噼啪声。例如 The crackle of the radio was so annoying. 收音机的杂音非常的恼人。And now let's go back to our teachers.
In our lesson today, we've been learning about Joe's journey to the city of Dalaka, where she is supposed to be interning. Now, this was an 8-hour journey for her on this bus. What's the longest journey, car ride or bus ride, that you've ever been on?
Good question. My family drove twice across the United States from Maryland to California, and there were 7 of us in a minivan that had 8 seats, but of course we had all of our luggage. It was a good experience, but it was hard at times.
That would take a very long time, yeah. Several days probably. Mm-hmm.
It's true, it did take quite a long time. Well, friends, how will you answer that question? What is the longest road trip or road transportation you have ever been on? Thank you for joining us today, and of course, we will see you next time right here at Studio Classroom.
See you then.
I am so proud to have you in my life, a good friend, last a lifetime.